I'm Andrew Stivers. I'm the Deputy Director for Consumer Protection in the Bureau of Economics, which just means that I'm basically in charge of the Consumer Protection Economics mission at the FTC, and I'm delighted to basically just introduce a series of really good speakers this afternoon. So I'm going to step out of the way, and we are going to start with Lied Waggman, who is a professor at the Illinois Institute of Technology and Stewart School of Business.
Thanks. Thank you again for having me here today. This is joint work that is fresh off the copy machine, pretty much, with Ginger Jin and Jian Jia. And we've been in a mad dash to complete it over the last several weeks. Basically, we looked at GDPR and we asked ourselves, where would we notice an impact right away? And the answer we came back with is that investors are likely to internalize the effects. So we thought the law was passed a couple of years ago, back in 2016. Maybe we should notice an effect then because investors would form expectations. The thing is, not much was seen, and we were wondering why. Looking through the news events, we saw that as recently as early this year, more than half of mobile applications are not GDPR ready, and announcements very close to the implementation date, to the enforceability date of May 25th, kept pouring in. The top firms, top platforms started releasing their rules. Apple removes apps that share location data without consent, updates their privacy terms. Facebook says that businesses may want to implement code that creates a banner and requires affirmative consent. Each company is responsible for ensuring their own compliance. You're all on your own. Shopify updates its app permissions for merchants developers. They need to implement them. Google releases consent SDK for developers, these software development kits, just a day before, 11th hour before the enforceability date. And then GDPR takes effect. Okay, so, you know, we kind of understood this all came into this implementation stage of the regulation. The effect should be noticeable after that, or as this was happening. So this is sort of a motivation. You know, GDPR has a massive overhaul of data regulation in the European Union, and anyone who services the European Union. And that includes data management, auditing and classification, data risk identification, data risk mitigation, interfaces for users to obtain their own data, to provide opt-in consent and to request deletion of their personal data. Firms are required to train higher qualified staff, or they face severe penalties that are up to 4% of their annual global revenue. Yeah. Bloomberg shortly after said 500 biggest corporations are on track to spend a total of $7.8 billion to comply. Okay, now, based on earlier work, we already knew that compliance costs are not incurred equally by firms. Smaller firms tend to take a bigger burden, at least in relative terms. And the other effects we know from theoretical work is that compliance costs will shift some of the innovation activity from smaller firms into the bigger firms. And the reason, especially for tech, that this happens is because larger firms already have the infrastructure in place for R&D. They have the infrastructure in place for internal innovation. And so when entrepreneurs decide to pursue an idea, they have the option of pursuing it internally or pursuing it as a startup externally, as a venture. Okay? And when they face that choice, they look at the costs. And when the costs of pursuing it on your own increase, your incentive to stay inside and either innovate or not increase. And so the overall, at least theoretical, effect is that innovation is reduced and more innovation happens inside bigger firms. So the bottom line for us was, who's better to assess what really happens than the actual investors who are putting their money where their mouths are? Yeah, they're actually investing in those firms. And so once these policies were rolled out, we figured compliance costs are going to be realized, especially for the smaller ventures, because they rely on the larger platforms' policies for compliance, for who bears the liability for violation, and so forth. Okay, so that's the general idea. Now, we wanted to get comprehensive venture data. It's impossible to get it all in one place, but one of the main databases for venture data that's not a complete universe, but it's pretty good, is Crunchbase. And so we collected venture data from Crunchbase from last summer, July 2017, until the end of September this year. Okay, so it's really, really recent. This data comprises firm information, the firm location, the category it operates in, its founding date, the dates on which it raised money, and a range, a lower bound and an upper bound on the number of employees it has. Think 1 to 10, 11 to 50, 51 to 100, something like that. Okay. Now, it also comprises information about each individual financing deal. That includes the size and the date of the deal, which stage, was it a seed deal, a Series A, and so forth, which investors participated, okay, and the dollar amount, obviously, of the deal. So just to give you an idea for what the data looks like and to convince you that it's good data, I created some pictures to kind of summarize it. So these first four pictures show the average number of deals per week in the U.S. and the EU. You can see that the U.S. has a larger number, a factor of two or so. The median dollar amount in millions raised per deal, it's about $1.5 million for the EU and $3 million for the U.S. You can see the average firm age is more or less similar. And the average number of investors that participate in a deal is somewhat higher in the U.S. Okay, if we look at the composition of firm ages in our sample, you'll notice that about half of them are the very youngest, the 0 to 3 years old ventures. Okay, and the rest are distributed more or less similarly between the U.S. and the EU. So if we dig deeper into these age groups, you can see that the average amount raised per deal is growing the older the firm is. So the youngest group raised the least. They mostly participate in seed rounds and Series A, Series B rounds, and then it grows from there. Okay, and these are averages. They're not medians, so the amounts are a little higher. All right. Now, if we look at the total number of deals, most of the deals happen for those young firms. Okay, they have smaller deals, but they have a lot more of them. And we're talking thousands of deals in just 1 year of data, a little over a year. And if we look at the median amounts raised per deal, you'll notice that, again, they grow in the firm's age. And this is kind of indicative that the distribution of those amounts is skewed. The median is smaller than the average. Okay. All right. So if we want to dig deeper into the types of deals that are happening, I hope I've convinced you by now that this data is pretty granular, but it goes further than that. You'll see that for those youngest firms, those 0 to 3 year old firms, most of the deals happen on this large circle, which is the seed round. Those are the smallest, basically, rounds that mainly comprise angel investors and amount of a few hundred thousand dollars a deal. And then it goes from there. It goes to Series A, Series Bridge Rounds A, B, and other. So on the horizontal axis here, you have the firm age. On the vertical axis, you have the average dollar amount for deals of that type. And then the larger the circle, the more deals we see. Okay. As we move to older firms, you'll notice that the bubbles start floating up as the deal amounts increase, and there are fewer deals, so the bubbles get smaller. And we could go to the older group, and they keep floating up. The age obviously increases. The bubbles get smaller. And we could go to the oldest group, and they keep floating up. So in terms of where those deals are happening, this is a heat map of U.S. states and the EU member states. We include Britain in the EU because it's still part of the EU as of the time of GDPR's rollout. The EU firms are affected by GDPR just as much. In fact, UK adopted its own GDPR-like law. You'll see most of the deals happen in California, happen in the UK. In terms of the dollar amounts that go in, it's a pretty similar situation. Most of the dollar amounts go to the UK and California, and Germany picks up some investment dollars as well. Okay. So our observation level here is divided into a state, where a state is either a member state in the EU or a state in the US. Okay, so we look, at least at the aggregate level, at states. Okay. And in terms of time, we look at weeks, investment per week, per state, per technology category. And I'll talk about categories in a second. At the deal level, we look at individual deals. All right. So I hope this was convincing, at least in terms of the granularity of the data we have. Let me give you some idea of the trends here. This is for the number of deals per week, comparing the EU and the US. Okay, the US is the red line, EU is the blue line. You notice that they track each other pretty closely. It seems to be a common trend, and GDPR takes effect in late May this year, and there seems to be some change going on. Okay, now you might argue, oh, this is the European summer vacation happening right after GDPR takes effect, but we don't see a similar thing in the summer of 2017. All right. And we dig deeper into the deal per week, per state, per technology category level, you'll notice that this gap becomes easier to spot. This gap that happens between the red line representing the US trend and the blue line representing the EU trend. And there's a drop that happens after GDPR takes hold. Okay, we could look at variations of this, of the dollar, for example, raised per week, and see the same thing. Okay, we could go further and look at the dollar raised per week, per state, per technology category, and again, we can see the same thing. All right, and we could look at the dollar amount raised per deal. Yeah. And again, we see something similar taking shape. All right. So our next objective here is to quantify this effect, to look empirically at what's going on. And our methodology is what's called difference in difference. So what we do is we find the difference in the US from the pre-period before May 2018 and the post-period after May 25th, 2018. And we do the same thing for the EU, and then we take the difference of the differences. So we have a couple of specifications, at least at the aggregate level. We use Tobit for the dollar amount, the total dollar amount raised per week per state, and we use Poisson for the number of deals per week per state. We use macroeconomic controls like unemployment, consumer price index, interest rate, GDP. We even included exchange rate. It didn't change anything. And a specification is what you'd expect. We're just looking for the effect of the rollout of GDPR. We use time and state, county fixed effects, country fixed effects, sorry, for the EU. And at the deal level, we use a log linear specification because of these outliers that we have, where we see the average is much larger than the median, and this helps control for that. Yeah, at the deal level, we also include the deal specific controls, like the age of the firm, the funding stage of the deal, the technology category, things like that. And in terms of technology category, we break it down into two categories. One is healthcare and finance, and the other is everything else. The reason we focus on healthcare and finance is because the US has existing laws in those sectors, specifically the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act, GLB, for finance, and HIPAA for healthcare. Yeah? And so we would expect maybe to see something different about that category, that grouping of healthcare and finance. Yeah? The other reason we divide it into these categories is because it creates a balanced sample in the sense that every state has some activity in those categories. So in terms of results, we see an effect on the dollar amount raised per week per member state per category that is substantial. Across all EU ventures, that dollar effect is $3.38 million per week per state per category. And for 0 to 3 year old ventures, the effect is almost $1 million. Now, in terms of the number of deals, we see a significant drop. Drop of about 17% for the number of deals per week per category per state. The figure presents the average amount, just to make it easier to kind of relate to. And we see a similar drop for those youngest ventures, those 0 to 3 year old ventures. What this means is that those firms have less of a chance to secure a successful deal, which could mean that fewer of them come to fruition. Okay, and in terms of the dollar amount per deal, that also drops. Right? Those drops are pretty significant in the overall sense because some of the later deals are very sporadic. Okay, when we zoom in on those 0 to 3 year old ventures, the drop there is 27%. Overall, we see two effects here. We see an effect at the extensive margin in terms of fewer deals taking shape after GDPR takes hold, and at the intensive margin in terms of fewer dollars invested per average deal. Let's talk about some of these categories more specifically. So in terms of healthcare and finance, we see a similar drop in the number of deals of 18.8%. We see a drop in the aggregate amount raised per week per state of $5 million. The average deal, the average amount invested per week is $30 million. And we see a huge drop in the amount invested per deal on average. Now, interestingly enough, we see similar changes for all other categories. Okay, we don't get a significant effect on the aggregate dollar amount invested per week because it's that pool of categories is just too widely spread. It's too broad. So we're not able to identify that effect, but otherwise it's somewhat similar. Okay, and this is surprising because you would think that healthcare and finance would be different since the U.S. has existing laws. What we get out of it is that maybe GDPR is really transformative in the overall sense. Across categories. Doesn't matter if there are existing laws, those laws are old. They're outdated. There are systems in place already to handle those laws, whereas GDPR is new, is fresh, needs new systems, new compliance costs. Okay. Now, zooming back into those 0 to 3-year-old ventures, those nascent ventures, those startups, the effect there is pronounced. Okay, there's 19% fewer deals happening. There's a decrease in the aggregate dollar amount invested per week. And there's a drop in the dollar amount invested per deal on average. Yeah, that's, to me, concerning. And at the same time, we don't know if it's a short-term effect or whether it's going to last. Right? We only have 4 months of post-GDPR data. So that's something to keep in mind. This is at least the short-term effect that we observe. So in terms of robustness, we looked at the pre-periods before May 25th. And at least at the deal level, number of deals, we didn't see an effect before May. At the total dollar amount raised per week, we do see an effect that starts a little bit earlier. It starts in April, or late April. So kind of crossing over to May, we see it kicking in early May, really kicking in. Okay, so firms were reacting. They were reacting to those announcements. So as a robustness, we exclude May from our sample and all the results still go through. As an additional robustness, we exclude the period between summer 2017 and summer 2018 to control for seasonality, and the results still go through. We top code observations to reduce the influence of outliers, of those huge deals, and the results still go through. Okay. We categorize industries in an unsupervised manner using techniques like K-means or other machine learning techniques, and the results still go through. Okay, and we used other specifications, and the results still go through. So we tried to break the results, and they don't break easily. All right, so what can we do with this? Well, our data set, as I mentioned earlier, has some information about employment numbers, employment ranges, how many employees are employed per firm. And obviously, we see these dollar amounts decrease in deals, but what does it say about welfare? It doesn't say much. We cannot draw a welfare implication for this. It could very well be that those less desirable firms are not coming to fruition. We're preventing the next Cambridge Analytica. Who knows, right? But we can look at the effect on jobs. So to do that, we get an average for the dollar amount raised per employee by 0 to 3-year-old firms. Okay, and that range is from $123,000 to $1 million. Okay, and we can use this range to see how many jobs are lost because of the less dollars that come into those firms, the fewer dollars that come in terms of the number of investment deals and the dollars per deal. And just if you're curious, how many dollars are raised on average for a broader swath of firms, say 0 to 6-year-old firms, you see that those dollars shrink. And the reason they shrink potentially is because those firms have outside revenue sources. I mean, they have their own revenue sources perhaps, right? So those 0 to 3-year-old firms are the most susceptible to job losses. Okay, they depend on that money in order to hire those people. They depend on those deals coming through in order to operate. So in terms of jobs lost by those firms, based on our back of the envelope, these rough estimates, we see that it's between 3,600 and 30,000 jobs. And that amounts to about 4 to 11% of the number of employees they employ in our sample. Okay, I want to emphasize that this is the effect we see in the short term. We don't know what's going to happen in the long term. Okay, and it could very well be that investors are just pulling out and saying, I want to see how this is going to shake up, and I'll come back later. Okay, it could also be that investors are shifting their dollars to the U.S., in which case our results may be overstated. It could also be that there are investors outside the EU that tend to invest in EU firms that hold their dollars back. We don't see them in our sample because we only focus on the EU and the US. And so maybe our results are understated. And the other thing to keep in mind in these is that these jobs lost are just technology jobs in those 0 to 3 year old ventures, at least these rough estimates. There could be more jobs lost. There could be jobs lost by firms that are older. There could be jobs lost by people who would have, you know, acted in service positions for these jobs, providing lunch, providing childcare, and so forth. So just to kind of summarize what we see so far is that in the short run, we notice a pronounced negative effect on EU venture financing, both on the number of deals and the dollar amount per deal. Okay. Now, our sample of post-GDPR is relatively short, so more study is definitely needed here. And the reason that investors are holding money back is not crystal clear. It could be a wait-and-see approach. It could be that they're afraid about rising compliance costs. It could be that this regulation is hindering the actual business practices that they want to invest in or the products they want to invest in. Okay? It could just be uncertainty. All right? The other thing to keep in mind is that our sample is a small part of the bigger picture. We don't have a complete universe. We think it's a pretty good sample, but there could, of course, be more. The other thing we notice here is that GDPR is very transformative. It applies across categories, even those categories we would expect maybe less of an effect because of existing laws like HIPAA. Okay? So just one difference between HIPAA and GDPR, one of many, is that HIPAA might require you to provide consent in order to receive service from a healthcare professional. Whereas GDPR requires the firm to provide service even if you do not give consent. Okay? In terms of Gramm-Leach-Bliley in financial markets, that regulation provides an opt-out approach. Basically allows customers to opt out of having their data, say, sold to affiliates. And that, even that's in special circumstances. Whereas GDPR requires an opt-in approach. You have to provide opt-in consent for your data to be used, for your data to be sold. The penalties are also very different. GDPR has much larger penalties, potentially 4% of global revenues. All right. So aside from the negative effects we see on the number of deals, we also have some conclusions, or at least a preliminary conclusion for job losses. And again, it's a rough calculation. And other than that, happy to take some questions.
Thank you, Leo. So first of all, I would like to say to all of you, hopefully a number of your researchers in this area, this is the kind of work that's incredibly valuable, both to the FTC and to our sister agencies working in this area, in terms of really trying to understand what the potential effects might be of changing regulation, changing enforcement in this area. So if you're in this field, I strongly encourage you to
There we go. I thought I had got the button. I guess I hadn't. But I hopefully you heard me that I strongly encourage you to do research in this area. I know that a couple of you have some very interesting work coming forward in this area, so we're all eagerly awaiting that. However, since Liat is here, I get to grill him a little bit. I wonder a little bit about the time period that you're looking at. You look at the time in which GDPR was actually the enforcement happened. Did you think about looking at the April 2016 shift, right? Because you'd expect that investors maybe would be, I mean, this wasn't a surprise that it was coming, even though I think you point out that perhaps some of the companies were kind of last minute in terms of getting their compliance up and running. So can you talk a little bit about why you wouldn't necessarily see most of the effect happening right around April 2016, before and after, and then what are you actually measuring? Are you measuring the entire effect of GDPR when you look at the May 2018 date, or is there something a little more subtle about what you're measuring there in terms of the effect?
So first I'd like to say that I think both time dates are meaningful, right? April 2016 is when GDPR passed, right? Came into law, but it wasn't to kick in until 2 years later. Now, the second time period is meaningful because that's the actual implementation stage. And a lot of these smaller firms that we focus on, they depend on the policies that are adopted by the larger firms. And those policies were not announced or not adopted until the very few weeks, if not the week off, May 25th, 2018. Okay, so a lot of the realization of those increased compliance costs, those increased liability costs, the actual code that you needed to put in your app in order to be compliant with the app store where your app is published was not available until those few weeks preceding May 2018, at least for the most part. Just to give an extreme example, Google released some code the day before. Now, we looked at April 2016. In fact, we started with that. And just our early checks did not reveal a significant effect. It could be just, you know, lack of clarity about what was going to happen. Now, we saw that lack of clarity from regulators as well. If you look at their own models for, you know, kind of trying to predict what would happen after the regulation, they had their own uncertainties. Okay, and those uncertainties, I believe, are still not clear until several probably lawsuits, settle down. We will not know the full effect.